This morning I'd like for us to consider two messages, the message of Christmas and the message of Christ. What's the difference? The message of Christmas comes to us from the world. Go shopping, spend all your money, buy me this, buy me that, I want this, I want that. Let's party. Let's go. But what is the message of Christ? What are we proclaiming as believers in Christ, as a church at this time of the year? Are we proclaiming a message of Christ or a message of Christmas? We're going to see what the message of Christ is as we look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke 2, 1 through 20. Before we study, shall we pray? Father in heaven, we praise your holy and majestic name because you're the true and living God. Beside you, there are no others. Thank you for your love to us. And you demonstrated that love by sending your only begotten Son into the world to die for the sin of your people and to raise him from the dead, that through him we have eternal life. I pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless us in our time of worship as we come to study your word. Oh, Father, keep the evil one from us. Teach us by your Holy Spirit the truth of the message of Christ for our hope and our salvation. I pray that your children will be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged in their relationship and in their walk with you. And oh, how I pray for those here today who do not know Jesus as their Savior. They have the Christmas message, but not the message of Christ. Would you open their hearts to the truth of your word? To see that trusting in Christ alone for their salvation, they can be freed from the bondage of sin and death and truly have life in Christ. You know our needs, Father, and I pray that you meet every need that we have according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen. You may be seated. In the first 7 verses of Luke chapter 2, we have the account of the birth of Christ. We're all familiar with that account. Then in verses 8 and following, we have the angel going to the shepherds in the field to give them the announcement. And that's where we're going to focus on this morning. We're going to focus on verses 10 and 11. So let's look at these verses. And the angel said to them, that's a phrase we forget. The angel said to them, we just overlooked that. But that's a very important phrase there, a very important statement, because the word angel or the name angel in the Greek means messenger. When God gave the message that he was sending, he had sent his only begotten son into the world to die for the sin of his people, he sent a divine messenger, a messenger sent specifically from God with God's message about his son. So this message that you and I might have a tendency not to give a whole lot of attention to, we need to revisit this and think, this is God's message to me and to you. And he sent a divine messenger. Now, let's go on in verse 10 and see where it goes from there. Then he says, fear not. Now, the translation there would be, stop being afraid. Now, let's put it in the context, okay? Have y'all ever been out in a pasture in the country at 10 or 11 o'clock at night? No, I didn't think so. You know, maybe some have. It's kind of dark. I remember when I was in Thailand, had visited a missionary on the field, and we got on the train to go back at night, and I put my head, it's not a wise thing to do to put your head out the window at night going on a train. You don't know what's coming to you. But it was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. That's what these shepherds were. They were in pitch dark except for a campfire. And all of a sudden this angel just pops out of nowhere. Boom! What would you do? I couldn't run fast enough. I'm out of here. And those guys probably just froze. And so there's a real fear and anxiety. A fear of, I'm scared to death. Are any of us scared of God? The one who has the ability to kill not just the body but the soul? Does that cause any of us concern? That God can do that? Because he's God. Then there's another definition of the word fear, and that is respect. The utmost and highest respect for the true and living God. How much respect do we have of our Heavenly Father? When we come to worship, are we focus on the Lord and thinking about what we're saying? You know, we read here that Mary pondered and treasured all these things in her heart. And the word treasure means to store up and keep safe. And the word ponder means to think seriously about. Do we take our relationship with God seriously because we love and respect Him for who He is, the true and living God? And the angel said, stop being afraid. We should not be afraid of God, but we should have the utmost respect and awe of Him. Now, let's go on and see what else the message says. For behold, I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. Well, now we need to look at the word behold. That's another one of those words we just overlook, because the word behold means what I'm going to tell you in the next sentence is extremely important. This message, the message of Christ for you and me, is the most important message that you will ever hear in your life. And we hear a lot of important messages. We receive a lot of important news information, but the most important message that anyone would ever hear in his or her life is the good news of Jesus Christ. So we need to take seriously this message and how important it is for all of us here today. And notice he calls this message, I bring you good news of great joy. I bring, the literal translation, what I bring to you, good news. It's a personal message. How many of you write letters anymore? I mean handwritten. Yeah, you get them on a computer and email and all that stuff. To me, when someone sits down and writes a message out by hand, they've taken some time and they're thinking, instead of this message is to you personally. And God loves you and me enough to send it to you personally. Now, what does God have to say? I bring to you good news. Now, that's the word that we translate gospel. And the Greek verb is euangelizo. And whenever that verb form is used, it's always presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the good news. This is the important message that all of us need to hear. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He accomplished on our behalf. But what does he say about this news? Look at this and see. He says, I bring you good news, the gospel, of great joy. It's not just joy. It's great joy. Now the word great there means intense. Intense and deep. This is a special joy. This is not a joy that lasts for just as long as we're feeling good and we're having a good time. No, this joy is different. It's intense. It's deep. I bring you great joy. Now, what is joy? This is a deep, deep-seated emotion in the heart. This is more than just a surface emotion where we just kind of laugh and in 5 seconds or so it's gone. No, this is a joy that sinks into the depths of the soul and the heart, because it's the message that God has sent to each of us about Christ. So He sends this great joy. And who is it for? It will be for all the people. It's for all the people. You know, in the Old Testament, God narrowed it down to the Israelites that He had chosen to be a light of the world at that time until the coming of Christ. But now He says it's for all people. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we call it the Great Commission, but you know, it's actually the purpose of the church. If you want to know what the purpose of the church is, read Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That means He's tops. What He says is true. What He tells us to do, we need to be about doing it. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he says, go therefore. The verb go is a very important word. It doesn't mean go overseas. It does not mean that. It means as you go through life, as you go to the grocery store, as you go to Lowe's, wherever you go, you and I take the gospel of Jesus Christ with us. Go therefore, make disciples. What is a disciple? It's one who follows the teaching and lifestyle of a teacher. And so we point the person to Christ, not to us, not to a church or a denomination. We point the person to Christ. Because there's where life is in Christ. There's where hope is in Christ. The church is the instrument God uses, which you and I who believe in Christ is the church, to get the message out. So he says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Not just some, all nations. The Greek word nation is ethnos. Ethnicity. All ethnic groups. Which means you have to go to every people group in a nation to take the gospel. And he says, take it to everybody. And so, we don't decide who we're going to take it to. God's decided that. And he says, take it to everybody. So you and I have the privilege to be used of God to talk to people about Christ wherever we go and whatever we're doing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Putting the sign of the covenant on them. And then teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the church's responsibility is not only to make disciples, but to teach those new disciples that new life that they have and how to live that new life. Because it is new and it changes us radically when we have Christ as our Savior. But we need to be taught. You know, you have little children, how do they learn? We have to teach them. And we become infants in Christ. And we have a whole new life, a whole new way of thinking and feeling and looking at life. And we have to be taught Scripture. That's why churches must teach the Scripture. Be it Sunday school and Bible studies, in worship services, it's centered around Christ and His Word. That's why it's so important that we teach the Word of God in season and out of season. And then Jesus said, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We're not in this alone, folks. God didn't save us and pat us on the back and say, go for it. I'll see you in 100 years or so. No, I'm going to be with you every step of the way because I'm going to live in you by the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, and He does. That's the message of Christ. That's the message of Christ. It's not about parties. It's not about giving and receiving gifts. It's about having life in Christ and being used of God to get that message out. That's what it's all about. That's the message we have here. Now, look at verse 11. Let's finish up with verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the word I want us to focus on here is Savior. Notice he didn't say, for unto you is born this day a friend, a king, a ruler. He said a Savior. Now we have to define the word Savior. A Savior is one who delivers someone from a real or threat danger. A Savior is one who delivers someone from a real or threatened danger. Which means, do you and I realize we're in a real dangerous situation? Without Christ, do you realize you are in a very dangerous situation? And it's a threat? You say, now wait a minute. We're talking about God. Doesn't it say God is love? Yes, it does. And it also says He's holy and just and righteous and wrathful. So who do you know God? Now, let's look at John chapter 3. There are two verses that you and I need to know. One is John chapter 3. And everybody knows John 3:16. Would you agree? I heard some mumbling. John 3:16. But how about John 3:36? John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Do you realize that those without Christ have the wrath of God remaining on them? The verb remain means to be upon. It's in the present tense, so everywhere that person goes, the wrath of God is on them. It says, whoever does not obey God, the word obey is not in there, but the word faith is. So it means whoever does not believe in Christ, the wrath of God is on them. We're sitting here in this nice sanctuary this morning, beautiful. It's a great place to worship. The holiness of God, the presence of God. It's awesome what we're experiencing here spiritually. But do you know the person who's sitting here without Christ still has the wrath of God on them? That's real. That's a real danger, and it's a serious danger. So if you're here right now and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you have the wrath of God square on your head and your heart. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. This is where the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle John the revelation about the great white throne judgment. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Any person who dies without Christ as their Savior, your name will not be in that book of life, and you will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Matthew chapters 24 and 25, Jesus teaches on eschatology and the final judgment. And Jesus says to the goats, I cast you in away from me, and you will burn forever. Come on, trucks, this is Christmas. Do you have to go this way? Yes, I do, because God called me to teach the whole counsel of God. And it's a serious thing that if I don't let you know that you will burn in hell for eternity if you don't have Christ as your Savior. And the message of Christ is if you trust in me, you will have eternal life. And you will hear Jesus say to you, when you stand before Him and your name is in that book of life, you will hear Him say to you, enter into the joy of your salvation. Enter into heaven because of your faith in Christ. That's the message of Christ. Trusting in Him and Him alone, you have eternal life. The wrath of God is removed from you. You are an object of His love and His grace, His mercy. That's what you have in Christ. Without Christ, you don't have it. After the shepherds were given this message, look at verse 14. Well, look at 13. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When you and I have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can sing the same with the angels. Glory to God on the highest. But look where peace is. Those angels didn't say peace to all men on earth. He said peace to those in whom God is pleased. And God is pleased with those who have Jesus as Savior. He's not pleased with those who do not believe in Christ. This is a wonderful time of the year. A very special time of the year that we remember the message of Christ, where God demonstrates His love for His people so much, He sent them into the world. He sent Jesus into the world to die for your sin and for mine. Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you playing footsie with God? Are you depending on you're not such a bad person? I was born in the Presbyterian Church. God have mercy on you. I was baptized by brother so-and-so. God have mercy on you. That's not going to do you one bit of good. It's only your personal faith and trust in Christ. That's the message. And I hope and pray you believe in Jesus Christ. And if you don't, as we sing this closing hymn, please, I want to talk to you. I want to show you how you can experience the grace and mercy and love of Christ and have assurance of your forgiveness of sin in Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this message of Christ that you've promised to the Old Testament saints, that you fulfilled when your only begotten Son was born in Bethlehem, and which you fulfilled when that only begotten Son died on that cross, atoning for the sin of your people, of all nations. And then He ascended into heaven, where He sits at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. And how you've sent your Spirit into the hearts of your people to live in our hearts, to teach us your word, to empower us to walk in obedience, to love you because you pour your love into our hearts. I pray, Father, that we will be like Mary, that we will treasure this message in our heart, that we will ponder, we will think seriously about it, and we will rejoice because of the freedom from the bondage of sin and death that you've given to us in Christ. And I pray for those who are not in Christ. Oh, Lord, would you just bring conviction in their hearts? It would lead them to the Lord Jesus, to trust in Him and Him alone, to be redeemed, to be removed from that real danger of eternal hell and judgment, because Christ is not their Savior. You've spoken to our hearts, Father. Move in everyone's heart here today to accomplish your holy and perfect will. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Consider yourself before Christ. Do you trust in Him as we sing this hymn? You respond to God's call in your heart. Shall we stand? ponder this in your heart. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Give me just a moment. Last two Sundays, I've just been full of surprises for y'all. And I would never want anybody to do this to me, but this is a very special family. This is Mitch and Amy Halbert, and their four children, and I assume Chloe is still in the hospital. Still, she's eating now.
Yes, sir.
Doing well.
Doing better. Much better.
Thank you for your prayers. And this is their children, and what a blessing I've had to get to know you better, Mitch. Maybe I shouldn't say we've been in prison together, too.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. This is the ministry that I've been teaching in Bibb County, and a special group of brothers. So good to have you. And on behalf of the family, I thank you for the response that you all have given in prayers and providing Christmas for this family. Very special.
Thank you, brother.
Would you just hang in here and let everybody greet you right quick? Do you have the time?
We do.
Okay, all right. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we praise your holy and majestic name and thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your love, for your joy, for the redeeming us from the bondage of sin and death through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, how I praise you and thank you for Mitch and Amy and their children and your blessings upon them, and how we praise you for Chloe Bell and how you're healing her and how well she's doing. I pray that your healing hand would remain upon her, that she'd have a speedy and complete recovery. Thank you for all that you've provided for Mitch and Amy and their family. May your richest blessings be upon not only them, but each of our brothers and sisters in Christ and their response to the need that they have. Father, we have our hearts filled with the Spirit, filled with your joy, and we praise you and thank you for it. Dismiss us with your grace and your mercy and your love. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.